Random House Audio presents The Rustlers of West Fork, a Hopalong Cassidy novel by Louis L'Amour. Read for you by Robert Petkoff. Chapter 1. Six Gun Salvage. Hopalong Cassidy watched the old banker count the money with careful fingers. $15,000 was an amount to be handled with reverence and respect. As he watched the mounting stack of bills, Hopalong saw them less as the long green bills they were than as the cattle they represented. The cattle and the work. Into that stack of bills was going money that had grown from days of cold wind and rain, nights of thunder and lightning, of restless herds poised for stampede, of rivers and washes running brim full with roaring floodwaters, of dust, blistering sun, and the roar of rustlers' guns. Into that pile, so flat and green, went more than money. Into that pile went months of brutal labor. The brindle steer that had killed a horse under him down in Lone Tree Canyon, and the old mossy horn who had fouled Lanky's rope on a juniper, putting him 3 weeks in bed with a broken leg. And into that pile went the kid from Toya, who had ridden up to join them so full of vitality and exuberance, only to have his horse step into a prairie dog hole while running ahead of a stampede. They had buried what was left of the kid and sent his hat and gun to a brother in El Paso.
"There she is, Hoppy," the banker said at last. "Buck will be mighty glad to get shut of that debt, I know. He's a man who takes being in debt harder than any man I can think of, and he sure scrimped and cut corners to have that much in 3 years."
"Yeah," Cassidy agreed. "Buck's right conscientious about most things. He don't like to get into debt in the first place, but you know how it was with Dick Jordan. When he fell heir to that ranch out west, he sold his cattle and removed it to Buck, knowing if there was one man around he could trust to pay every last red cent, it was Buck. Came at a good time, too. Buck had been talking about more cattle, and with the additional range he could use, it would be a positive shame not to have him. Otherwise, he never would have gone into debt."
"You taking this money west yourself?"
The banker's shrewd old eyes studied the silver head.
"I know Buck can't afford to be away right now."
"Yeah, I'm taking it west and glad of the chance. Old Dick was a friend of mine, too, and I've heard a sight about that ranch of his. Rightly, it belonged to his wife. It was part of an old Spanish grant, you know."
"Uh-huh. Helped draw up some of the papers. Got a daughter now, I hear."
"Had her a long time. Shucks. She was 14 or 15 before they left here."
"Say,"
the banker turned around in his chair,
"who's going out there with you?"
"I'm going alone. Mesquite's off somewheres, as usual, and Buck can't spare two men. Anyway, it ain't a two-man job."
"Maybe. Things out that way are pretty lively. Had a letter from a friend of mine out to McClellan. Had his bank held up about 3 weeks ago, killed his cashier, wounded a deputy sheriff, and then lost the derned posse."
"Lost him?"
"Uh-huh. Just plain lost him."
Hopalong slid off the desk and gathered up the money.
"Well, Buck'll be waiting for me, so I'd better get into the leather and ride to the ranch. But don't you worry about this money. I'll see it gets to Dick as promised."
Tucking the packages of bills into his black shirt and drawing his belt tighter, he hitched his guns into an easier position on his dark trousered hips and started for the door. The banker arose from his chair and walked to the window where he could watch Cassidy cross the street. The same trim bowed legs, the broad sloping shoulders, the lean waist and choppy walk of the horseman. His silver guns were worn by much handling, and his boots were cracked and dusty. Suddenly, the banker found himself wishing he was younger and starting west with Hopalong on that ride. As he started to turn from the window, a movement caught his eye, and he hesitated. A man had stepped out from beside the bank and started slowly across the street in Hopalong's wake. If that man had been standing alongside the bank, he might have seen Hopalong take the money, for there was an office window near the desk. The banker frowned. His wife would be waiting supper, and if he got into the saloon, he might not get out for hours. Anyway, Hopalong could take care of himself. He always had. Trouble followed Hopalong Cassidy like wolves follow a snow-driven herd, but few men were more fitted to cope with it than the silver-haired gunfighter. He should have told Hoppy to look up Monahan at the bank in McClellan. Well, he could write to him. Maybe Hoppy would have business over that way. Dusk was softening the line of the buildings when Hopalong crossed the street to the saloon. A poker game was in session when he pushed through the batwing doors, but the players carefully avoided his eyes. They knew each other, and knew the game was fairly even all around. But Hopalong was a specialist at draw. His brand of poker was apt to be expensive for them, and they wanted none of that. Three men lounged at the bar, all strangers. One of them, Hoppy remembered, had passed him on the step. His casual glance read their brands with a quick, easy eye, and he grinned to himself. Drifting punchers. Maybe a shade on the owl hoot side. Trail dust lay thick on their clothes, but their guns had been wiped clean, and the cartridges in their belts shone brightly. One man, who had passed him on the walk before the saloon, was a slender young fellow with straight, clean-cut features and a deep line at one corner of his mouth. When he glanced toward Cassidy, Hopalong saw that one eye was half closed by a lowered lid. At first, the man seemed to be winking, and then Hoppy realized the affliction was permanent. The other two also had the look of hard cases. The tall man was round-shouldered, and his face carried deep-set lines of cruelty and harshness. The third stranger was scarcely more than a boy, but one already far gone down the hard trails by the look of him. Drifters were not uncommon, and the range life was not one calculated to make men soft. Such men as these came in and drifted on each morning and night, for Twin Rivers was on a trail much traveled in these months.
"Pulling out tomorrow, Hoppy?"
The bartender leaned his arms on the bar.
"Johnny was saying you were headed west to visit Dick Jordan."
At the name, all three strangers turned sharply to stare at Hopalong. Their expressions excited his interest, and also their apparent familiarity with the name of Dick Jordan. Only a familiar name could have turned them so sharply. They looked away, and the man with the squint eye spoke to the others in a low, careful voice, as though explaining something.
"Yeah," said Cassidy. "We bought his herd 3 years ago. Buck wants me to ride out there, and that country always did appeal to me. It will be good to get shut of this dust and fill my lungs with that good mountain air again."
"Dick bought himself a good ranch, I hear."
"He didn't buy it. His wife was Spanish, and the ranch was part of an old land grant belonging to her family. She inherited it, so they just moved out there. They took their daughter with them. She was maybe 15 years old. Nice kid, but all knees and freckles."
One of the strangers snickered, and Cassidy glanced at them appraisingly. Two of them avoided his eyes, but the one with the bad eyelid met his glance boldly.
"Heard what you said about riding to see Dick Jordan," he commented dryly. "And if I was you, I'd forget it. That there's a tough country for drifters. They don't cotton to 'em. Not none at all."
"That right?" Hopalong said carelessly. "Well, maybe I can help them get used to it."
The tall man answered him, and his eyes were hard as he looked at Cassidy.
"You go out there hunting him," he said insolently, "and you're sure likely to find him. You're liable to go right where he is."
As he finished speaking, he put down his glass, and all three walked out of the saloon. On the walk outside, one of them spoke, and then all laughed. Cassidy glanced at the bartender.
"Know those fellers?"
"Been around all afternoon," the bartender explained, "and taken in a lot of room. The squinty one, he's getting his horse shod. Then they're drifting on, heading west.
Hop along.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?